chapter number 7. Of course, we were in Romans chapter 1 this morning. I want to be back in the same book of the Bible tonight, but we're going to be looking tonight in the 7th chapter, beginning down in verse number 15, and we'll read on down to the end of the chapter here in just a moment when I hear those pages quit turning. And I want to preach to you tonight a message that deals with living the Christian life. And I tell you, it's great that we know some things when it comes to salvation. Amen. We need to know how to be saved. We need to know what happens when you do get saved. And really, we need to know what's expected of us now that we are saved. Amen. And Romans is a great book of the Bible when it comes to those sorts of truths. And then, of course, you look ahead, and if you are saved, then regardless of anything else, if you're saved, you have a heavenly home. And one day we're going to go there, and we're going to live together with the Lord Jesus. But do you know where most of our problems occur? Right between those two things. Right between the moment we trust Jesus Christ and He saves our soul, and between that moment He calls us home to be with Him, that's where really the rubber meets the road. And so I believe that much of the New Testament, much of these Pauline epistles, deal with how to live the Christian life, what we go through as believers in the Lord Jesus. And so I want you to look here with me in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse number 15. And I'll go ahead and forewarn you, this is probably one of the most difficult passages to read in all of the Bible. You say, well, preacher, is it hard to understand? No, not exactly. It's just hard to say it and read it right. You'll see what I mean here in just a moment. But the Bible says here in Romans 7:15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to once again stand and be able to preach from out of the Word of God. And Lord, I need Your help tonight. This is not the most easily understood passage. And Lord, it's not really the most easily expounded or easily explained passage. But Lord, I understand and I know that by Your Spirit, You can make it clear and easily understood to each and every one of us. And so Lord, I pray tonight, Father, there's a war going on, whether we realize it or not. There's a battle taking place in the heart of every one of us who are saved. And Lord, I pray that tonight You would encourage us and You would equip us to be able to be victorious in that inner battle. Lord, may we die to self. And may we live and yield ourselves unto You. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. I often speak from this very pulpit on the subject of Christian warfare. And I realize some of you might think, well, preacher, you're just kind of hung up on that. Or maybe you just think that's just something that I like to talk about. But I'll be honest with you, I'd much rather preach on getting saved. I'd much rather preach on revival. I'd much rather preach on the blessings of God. But I do believe that there is a great need in this day and at this hour that we talk about the warfare that we are all meant to be engaged in. And I'm not preaching anything tonight that I've not said before. We understand, you should understand, I've preached it enough to you, that we are engaged in warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible tells us that we have three great enemies as a believer. You say, preacher, what are those enemies? Well, they are the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, the devil is out to stop you as a Christian. If you're lost, he wants to stop you from getting saved. And if you're saved, he wants you to stop from serving God. Hey, the world is out there to keep you worldly, to try to tempt you and to try to draw you in so you'll serve this place and not that heavenly country. And yet your flesh is right there alongside of them, pulling you and tugging at you to do those very same things. And so tonight we're not wrestling with one another. We're not fighting against one another. But rather every one of us have three common enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. But tonight I want to focus on one of those enemies. And it's the enemy that the Bible makes out to be the most deadly, the most destructive of the three. In saying that, some of you automatically think I'm talking about the devil. And while the devil is more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, while the devil is wise above all creatures outside of God himself, and while certainly he is a crafty and worthy adversary, I don't believe tonight that Satan is the most dangerous adversary that we face. I'll tell you another thing, I don't think the world is either. Oh yes, this world is tempting, and yes, this world is constantly trying us as believers, but I don't believe that most of us have our greatest problem and our greatest difficulty with the world. You see, the truth is, I've only lived 34 years on this earth, but in those 34 years, I have lived enough to see Christians who, though the devil was tempting them and though he was trying them, they were resisting him and they weren't having much business with the devil. And I've lived this life long enough to see Christians who, though they live in the world, they weren't living up the world. And I'm glad to know there are some Christians today who still aren't worldly in their practice or in their day-to-day lives. But I'll just be honest with you tonight. Though I have known Christians who were not worldly, and though I have known Christians who were consistently resisting the devil, I don't care if it was the best Christian I ever knew, I've never met a one that had full victory over this flesh. And so I believe tonight that the most dangerous, the most deadly, the most destructive enemy that you and I have as a believer is the one staring us back in the mirror when we wake up in the morning. I believe perhaps the worst problem we have in our Christian warfare is that battle that takes place on the inside of us all. And so with that being said tonight, I want to look here at this passage and I want to preach to you on the subject of the Christian's toughest battle. The Christian's toughest battle. Now as we look here in our text, I want you to realize tonight that we are looking here at the words of the greatest Christian that ever lived. In other words, if there was ever a believer that did have victory over sin and did have some victory over the flesh in this life, it would have had to have been the Apostle Paul. And to make matters even worse, this isn't just the words of Paul, but we understand that by inspiration, these are the very words of God Almighty. In other words, Paul wasn't making it up. He wasn't lying about it. This was actually the truth according to the true and living God. And yet Paul, who we hold up as the greatest Christian that ever lived, Paul, the one who wrote most of this New Testament that we read from, Paul, the one that God used in so many ways, dealt with the same battle and the same warfare that you and I are fighting on a daily basis. He came there in verse number 15 and he said, "For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." You know what he's saying right there? Let me make it real simple. He's saying the things that I know are wrong and the things that I condemn in the lives of others, he said, I am often guilty of doing myself. He said, to make matters worse than that, he said, the things that I know I should do, the things that I know I ought to do, he said, I'm often guilty of not doing. And he said, it comes right down to it. He said, every single day I fight a battle in this flesh. I fight a war in my body. Hey, he said right there in verse number 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. You say, what was he getting at? What he was saying is, deep down in my heart, since I've been saved, I've had something in there that wants to serve God and live for Him. But he said, the second I get ready to serve God and live for Him, there's something over here on the other side that finds a way to keep me and hold me back from doing what God would have me to do. You say, what's that? That's a warfare. That's a battle taking place on the inside of the Apostle Paul. And I just want to go ahead and say tonight that that same battle, whether you'd like to admit it or not, whether you would acknowledge it or not, that same battle is taking place in my life and your life too if you're a child of the King. The truth of the matter is, as long as we're in this old body, there is a battle going on the inside, and I believe tonight it's the Christian's toughest battle. Now, I want to show you several things here tonight so we can get some help and so maybe we can get some victory in this battle. I want to show you first of all tonight the cause of the battle. You know, oftentimes we have a war take place, and throughout the course of that war, we fail or we forget to realize what started the whole thing in the first place. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you get to the end of it. By the time you got to the end of it, 5, 10, 15 years later, most of the people involved in the war don't even remember why in the world they were fighting to begin with. And so I believe it's important tonight, if we're going to understand this battle that's taking place, if we're going to get some victory over this flesh, we need to know the cause of why this battle is taking place inside of every one of us. And I'm glad the Bible has the answer, aren't you? You turn back just a little bit. Look here in Romans chapter 7, verse number 9. Paul said, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." Now over there in Romans chapter 3, let me read it to you so I get it just right here. Over there in Romans chapter 3, the Bible put it like this. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 13. He said, "But sin is not imputed when there is no law." And you say, what's so important about that, preacher? What's so important about that is that that completely ruins much of the theology of the Protestant churches as well as the Roman Catholic churches. You say, how come? Well, can I just go ahead and say, by the way, Baptists are not Protestants. Baptists were standing on the Bible before the Catholic Church ever started. And Baptists were protesting the Catholic Church before the Protestants ever even thought of it. I'm telling you, Baptists go way, way back. Hallelujah. But you say, well, what do you get that, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you, you go into the average church in America. I don't care if it's Presbyterian. I don't care if it's Methodist. I don't care if it's Episcopalian. I don't care if it's Roman Catholic. You go into the average church in America, you're liable to go in on a Sunday morning service sometime and find them up at the front with a little bitty baby. And they're going to get that little bitty baby up there at the front. They're going to take them a little saucer up there full of water. And that priest is going to make some kind of prayer over that baby and sprinkle that water all over his little scalp. And you say, well, why in the world would somebody do something like that? Well, I'll tell you one reason why they ought not to do it. It ain't found anywhere in that Bible. Hey, that infant baptism or so-called baptism is found nowhere, not one place, not even so much as hinted at anywhere in the Word of God. And so you say, well then why would these groups do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because they have a foundational belief that a child is born with original sin. So what's that mean? They believe that that child is born guilty in the sight of God. In other words, they say that child is already a sinner, and that if they do not sprinkle him with that water, they believe that little baby could die and go to hell as a baby. Oh, but I'm glad the Bible can clear up a college education. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm glad the Bible can clear up a denominational committee. Hallelujah. And you say, how in the world are you not worried about that? Why do we not baptize? Why don't we sprinkle those little babies here in a Baptist church? Well, can I tell you why? Because the Bible said, where there is no law, sin is not imputed. Now, is your baby born a sinner? Yes. Is every one of us born with sin, with a sin nature? Absolutely. Amen. 100%. Every one of us that come from Adam is born with a sin nature. But do you know what Paul said right there in verse number 9? He said, I was alive without the law once. In other words, he said, when I was a little baby, when I was a little child and I did not understand the law, I did not understand good from evil, I did not understand what sin was, he said, even though the law was against me, and even though, sin was present in me, he said, the Lord would not impute that sin when there was no law, when I didn't know good from evil. And so Paul starts out there. Remember, we're getting here at the cause of why this battle is going on within us. Paul got in there and he said, I was alive without the law once. But keep looking there at verse number 9. He said, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. In other words, there came a day in the life of Paul where one day, maybe he was a young boy, maybe he was a young man. Hey, the Bible doesn't give an age of accountability. It just says there comes a day when you do become accountable. And for one, it might be 4 years old. For one, it might be 8 years old. For another, it might not be till 15 years old. But there's going to come a day where sin revives and sin kills you spiritually in the sight of God. You say, what's that moment? That's the moment where the Lord reveals the truth to somebody, when somebody begins to understand good from evil, and they know what the right thing to do is, but they go ahead and do wrong anyway. They know what God would have them to do, but just like Eve back there in the Garden of Eden, they choose to do wrong anyway. Well, Paul said there came a day in his life as a young man where sin revived, sin grew, and he died spiritually. He goes on in verse 10 and says, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." Look at verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." You say, what's that getting at? What that tells us is that there came a day before you got saved. There came a day in your life after you were born the first time where all of a sudden sin came by, and sin, just like that serpent in the garden, came by your way and said, well, you know what? God is just a little too overbearing. He said sin deceived him there in verse number 11. Hey, sin came by your way one day and said, well, does it really matter what God had to say on the matter? Is God really going to send somebody to hell? I mean, is God really being fair and expecting so much of you? And just like Eve decided to go against God, there was a day in your life and the day in the life of every man, every woman, every child, where we chose to sin against a holy God. And you say, what happened? We said at that moment, at that very moment, he said the law came in and said, you're a sinner. At that moment, the law showed him who he truly was, that he was carnal and sold under sin. Now you say, what's that mean, preacher? Well, one time the Bible over there in James chapter 2, it likened the law to a mirror, like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And you know what a man trying to work his way to heaven is like? He's like a man taking a mirror and trying to use the mirror to clean himself up with. You can't clean your face off with a mirror. You can't get your face cleaned up with the glass. It'll cut you, it'll harm you, but you sure can't get the dirt off. All the glass can do is reveal to you what your sin looks like. And so Paul's making a point here. He said that though I was trying to keep the law, though I was trying to be good, he said all the law could do, it couldn't give me any hope. It couldn't give me any peace. It could not save my soul. It could only show me how lost and how sinful and how carnal I truly am. And so Paul was looking for something. And praise God, can I just go ahead and give the end of the story? He found that something on that road to Damascus. Hallelujah. But I want to say tonight, he goes back and he says, the very cause for why we have this inner battle, the very cause, the very reason why we have to be engaged in a warfare within ourselves is because long ago, sin entered in and started the whole problem. But he goes on and not only shows us the cause, but I believe he shows us something regarding the conflict that we all face. You say, well, what in the world's that, preacher? Well, look down with me, if you would, at verse number 21. You see, the question arises, well, absolutely, when sin entered in before we got saved, absolutely, that was a problem. That was the reason we needed to get saved. Christ died to save us from our sins. Amen? But that all of a sudden, but then it raises a very good question. Why after I got saved? Why after you got saved do we still have to fight sin? I mean, why is it? Have you all ever asked yourself that question? That's a good question. Why is it that if Christ has saved me from sin, why am I still sinning? Y'all with me tonight? Listen, we're not getting into any false doctrine. We're going to look here in the Bible and see what it says. It gives the answer. But that ought to be a question you ask sometimes. If Christ has saved me, if He's redeemed me, I mean, if He's paid the price and forgiven me, then why in the world am I still having a trouble with lying? Why in the world do I still have trouble with covetousness? Why in the world do I still have trouble with lust? I mean, why are these things still going on after I'm saved? Well, that has to do with the conflict that we're involved in. Look in verse 21. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, this is not some carnal Christian saying that. I hear Christians sometimes say, well, you know, I would love to do what's right, but I'm just nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And I know what people mean. They mean, well, I just can't seem to live right, can't seem to do right. But I tell you, normally the ones doing that are the ones who aren't even trying to do right. The reason I get about sick and tired of hearing that phrase, Brother Denver, is because most of the ones sitting there going, well, I'm just a little sinner saved by grace. Nothing I can do about it. Don't worry about me. I'm just over here. Those are the ones who've quit even trying to fight against sin. But that ain't Paul. Paul's not like that. Paul is somebody who is legitimately trying to live right. He is somebody who is legitimately serving Jesus Christ every day of his life. I mean, this is the model Christian, the one that the Bible said, follow me even as I follow Christ Jesus. And yet, you know what he said here? He said, but I find a law. This is not like the Ten Commandments. This is a law like a law of nature. He said, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Have you discovered that law, Christian? Can I just tell you tonight, I discovered that law pretty early on in the Christian life. I want to do good. I want to do right. Lord, I want to live for you. But it seems that when I want to do right, somehow evil is still present right here with me. Somehow something's hindering me. Something is holding me back from doing it. He goes on in verse 22 and says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know what some of y'all do when I stand up here and preach? Listen, God uses preaching. God uses loud preaching, soft preaching. He uses fast preaching and slow preaching. I mean, He uses preaching in proper English and He uses hillbilly preaching. But God uses the preaching of the Word of God to get through to people. And some of you come in, you sit in a church service, and God deals with your heart, and you say by the end of that service, Lord, I'm going to get this thing fixed up with you. Lord, I'm going to read my Bible more. Lord, I'm going to pray like I ought to. Lord, I'm going to be more faithful to church. I'm going to be more faithful to your work. Lord, I'm going to tell my family members about Jesus. Lord, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. And then by the time you get to the car, you're going back to doing the same things you always were doing. It's not even on your mind anymore. So how do you figure that? Well, he said in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You say, who's that inward man? That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. In other words, if you're saved, all of a sudden you have a hunger for the truth. You have a hunger for preaching. You have a hunger to know the Bible. You have a hunger to pray. You have a hunger for the things of God. You have a hunger to win souls to Christ. He said, I delight in the law of God in my inner man. Wouldn't it be good if it just stopped right about there? But verse 23 says, but I see another law in my members. That's your flesh. I see another law in my members warring against that law of my mind, that law that loves God and wants to serve Him. He says, and that law that wars against the law of my mind brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, whether you and I would like to admit it tonight, every one of us know that's so. Every one of us deal with this on a daily basis. That we know to do good. We know what God would have us to do. We even have a desire as a believer to do it. And yet there's always something there. There's always that other nature there, that fleshly nature there, holding us back. You say, what is it? Well, you know it's wrong to lie, but you lie. You know it's wrong to lust, but you lust. You know it's wrong to be stubborn, insubordinate, but you do it. You know it's wrong to be lazy, but you go ahead. You know it's wrong to be jealous and to gossip, but you do those things. You know it's wrong to lose your temper, but you so often do. And yet you know it's right to read the Bible, but you put it off. You know it's right to pray, but you're too busy. You know it's right to witness, but you hold back your voice. You know it's right to fight against sin in your body, but you give in to it all the same. See, what Paul is telling us here is that there is a battle going on. There is a war going on within us. And it's a war that has gone on since before the Lord ever even saved our soul. If you're a Christian, you've got two natures inside of you. You've got a nature that is a new nature that loves God and loves God's Word and loves God's people. It loves what God loves, and Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So it loves the church. Hallelujah. But on the other side, right there in the very same body, you've still got that old nature that loves sin. It loves hellishness. It loves everything God hates. And we are in a constant conflict, a constant battle between those two natures. And so I look here tonight and I see the cause of the battle. I see the conflict of the battle. But I'm glad tonight I see the cure for the battle. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, He doesn't just give us the problem, doesn't just tell us what we're going through, but I'm glad the Lord has the answer. I'm going to tell you something. I've never known a Christian that had 100% victory over sin in this life. You want to know why? Because as long as you're on this earth, you're still living in this body, and this body is rotten. This body is just as rotten as the lowest hell. But I tell you, you can yield to Christ. You can have victory over sin. You don't have to give in to the old nature. You can serve the Lord with your life. And you say, well, how do I do it, preacher? Well, I want to tell you two ways. There's two ways. There's one that works in this life. You ready for it? You got your Bible there? Turn back one chapter, chapter 6 of Romans. Chapter 6 and verse number 11. Now, even though these are two different chapters, these are within the same context. This is a whole letter that Paul is writing. And so what he's saying back here in chapter 6 still pertains to what he's saying a few verses later in chapter 7. And you know what he says in chapter 6, verse number 11? He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but please get a hold of this. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And you know what he just said right there? He said, as far as your position in Christ is, your flesh is dead. It's been nailed to the cross. It's been wiped out. Your flesh is nothing, and you ought to die to yourself. And he said, yield your life. Yield your body to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could say that's a one-time thing. I mean, I wish, listen, I'm just preaching to you. I'm just giving you a little help tonight. Just trying to give you a little advice for your Christian life. And I wish I could say you could just do that one time and that'd be the trick. But that ain't the way it is. You know what Paul said on another occasion? He said, I die daily. You know what that means for you and I, Christian? If we're going to get any victory over our old nature, if we're going to have any victory, if we're going to be of any use to our Lord, we're going to have to reject our own desires. We're going to have to die to our own ambitions, die to our own wants, die to our own greed, die to ourselves. And yield this body to the Lord Jesus Christ so that it can be used in the way that He pleases. So you say, well, preacher, How can I get help in this life? Well, you only get it as often and as much as you yield yourself to Christ. But can I tell you the real way we're going to get the victory? And I'm glad I can say this part tonight. I ain't going to preach much longer, but I'm glad I can say this part tonight. He said right here in chapter number 7, he said in verse number 24, "O wretched man that I am." You say, what's that? That's not going to help your self-esteem tonight. He said, "That in my flesh, in my body, which is my flesh," he said, "dwelleth no good thing." You know what that means for you and me? There ain't no good thing in us either. Amen. There ain't no good thing about Morgan Lester. Hey, there ain't nothing, no good thing. Brother Denver, I love you, brother, but there ain't no good thing in you. Hey, Brother Bruce, I love you, brother, but there ain't no good thing in you. And he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's a good question. And he answers it in the very next verse. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You say, who's going to deliver us? Who's going to give us the victory? Who's going to help eradicate that old nature? Who's going to completely give us the new nature? Who's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body? Well, Paul said, "I'm glad there's coming a day. I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." He's the one who's going to end the battle. I'm going to tell you tonight, Christian, there's a battle going on, whether you realize it or not. You better be fighting the battle. You better be warring against your own self, warring against your own flesh. You better seek to deny yourself, die to self, and yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ if we would have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation. Maybe tonight you sit here and you say, "Preacher, I've been really struggling with this." Can I tell you, I do too. Can I just bare my heart to you a little bit? The Bible says confess your faults one to another. I'm about to confess a little bit here tonight. You know what happened to me last night? I'm going to tell you, I knew last night I needed to study. I needed to get ready to come and teach Sunday school and preach this morning, preach tonight. And by the way, I did study and I did get ready. I don't want y'all to think I never did. But you know what I found myself doing? I found myself looking there at the internet and I found myself watching the TV show the family had on, and I found myself going in and make me a cup of coffee, and I found myself eating a little bit, having a snack here and there. And for too long, I looked at that clock, and it was about 9 o'clock at night, and I hadn't done what God wanted me to do. I hadn't done what I needed to do. And I'll be honest with you, I love reading the Bible. I hope somebody else in here likes reading it too. I love reading it. I love studying the Bible. I love time spent with God in prayer. But if you ever noticed, you ever notice about the time you go to pray, about 15 things will come up you got to get done? You ever noticed about time that you start getting that burning desire in your heart to read a little bit of God's Word and find out what He wants for you that day? About that time, all of a sudden, the phone's going to ring or the TV gets turned on, something else goes on to distract you. You say, "What are you getting at, preacher?" What I'm telling you is there's a battle going on, whether you realize it or not. It is there, your flesh is there to distract you, to resist you. Your flesh is there to war against everything inside of you that wants to live for God. You need to die to self, Christian. I need to die to self, Christian. We need to fight this war and win the battle. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word tonight. I pray You'll take the message, use it to help us live the Christian life in a way that would be pleasing to You. Lord, use it to help us get victory in this battle against our flesh. And Lord, I pray for everyone in here tonight that You'd help us day by day to die to self and to yield our members as servants of God and servants of righteousness. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and for His sake, amen and amen.